website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, as always, welcome into the Speak Up Table, where we have conversations that will interest you and maybe challenge you to rethink through a topic. We're taking a deep breath today and a break away from politics and our political candidates and asking the question, what is the significance of the resurrection? This is Easter week, as you all know, Holy Week. Resurrection Sunday is coming, and so we're asking the question, what is this big celebration all about for Christians? Well, really for everyone. So Pastor Jason Gold and his wife Ann are here today to help us sort this out and bring some understanding to these questions for us. So keep it right where you are, because we'll be back after these messages.
Cabin fever got you down? Hitch up the team and head on over to Mountain Traders, a one-of-a-kind consignment trading post featuring quality used furniture, antiques, taxidermy, metal and wood art, jewelry, and more. From pistol socks to fool's gold, there's something for everyone at Mountain Traders, and they've added pulled pork to their menu. Open Tuesdays through Sunday, located on Highway 95 in Elmira, halfway between Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint. Mountain Traders.
Are you over 50 and noticing that you're losing muscle tone, have more pain in your joints, and worry about your bone density? You're not alone. Hi, this is Jen Barden from The Shed. As someone in her 50s, I understand the challenges we face as we age, but I also know as a fitness coach what to do to make a difference. Building strength will take time, commitment, and guidance. At The Shed, I'll take the time to get to know you, and I'll make sure your strength program matches your fitness level so you succeed. Please stop by The Shed today, The Shed on Michigan Street in Sandpoint.
They were our brothers, our sisters, sons, and daughters. They were our parents, family, neighbors, and our friends. How can we express the gratitude that we all owe the thousands and thousands of American veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country's freedom? It was they who stepped forward from the time this country was created to fight for everything we know about liberty and freedom. And although we celebrate their victories and console them for their losses by creating monuments and honoring them in parades, the truth is we can never do enough for the freedom they've given us. Perhaps the most important thing that we can do is reach out to those veterans closest to us and simply tell them thank you. All of us at Shiloh Inns would like to take this opportunity to recognize the many men and women, including police and firemen, who have served and continue to serve our country to ensure our freedom. From everyone at Shiloh Inns, thank you, and God bless America.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated, and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening. And visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Come on in, everyone. Say hello and welcome to Pastor Jason Gold and his beautiful wife, Anne. They are here from Regeneration Calvary Chapel to help us talk about this Holy Week that we're celebrating this very week. So welcome in to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'd like to begin, Jason, with you introducing yourself and your wife to the audience and how you came to be a pastor. That, you know, that's a big question, and came to North Idaho.
Yeah. So early on, 20-something years ago, I was serving at a Calvary Chapel in Southern California. I know that's kind of a taboo word up here, but serving in worship leading, and the Lord just kept tugging on my heart and to get into teaching His Word. And I wasn't very educated, and so I went to a trade school and took some computer classes and learned a whole bunch there. But then I realized this is something that I feel like I could do. And so I got a job at that trade school teaching computer classes. But I knew the Lord was going to use it to have me teach His Word. Mm. And so it was from there that the Lord was just planting seeds. And then fast forward several years, I was an assistant pastor for about 20 years or so. And the Lord did a stirring in our heart. Started, I think, in 2014. And then my family and I, we traveled across the western part of the nation in 2015 and doing music and teaching. And it was at that point that the Lord just really put it on our heart to step out and do a church plant. And so there's a longer story on how we ended up in Sandpoint, but I don't know how much we want to get into that. But the Lord led us up here specifically to church plant, and we came up in 2016.
You know, it's so interesting to me because the Lord really does. If you're listening, the Lord is leading you.
Yes.
And it's, you just have to trust the Lord, because we can't see very far ahead. Sometimes we can, but you just, the complete trust that you put in that leading. I mean, did you say North Idaho, really?
Actually,
absolutely.
Yeah, we really we knew that North Idaho existed because
we knew Idaho existed.
Yeah. But then, yeah, then North Idaho came to our attention, and we were just like, wait, that is near the Canadian border, and so we thought, no way, but here we are.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here very much. And so are many, many other people. Praise God. Well, we've talked before, and you talked one Sunday a couple of weeks ago about how this Easter is important. You know, Resurrection Sunday is foundational, but there's something about this season, the divisions and the arguments and the wars and families and COVID and all that. Mm-hmm. So what is all of it? How do you see what is making this particular Easter season so different and so challenging?
Well, the divisiveness that is nationwide, really it's international, it's across the world. And so there's an adversary that is working against us. And there's an end plan, and he knows how the book ends, and he knows that he loses, and so he's going to do anything and everything to disrupt. And you know, when we think about Passion Week and where we're at in Passion Week, Tuesday, you know, here we are on Tuesday, and Tuesday during Passion Week, Jesus was on the temple, and he was there with the scribes and the Pharisees. So we're talking about the religious leaders, the religious political leaders, and they called him out publicly to challenge his authority on why he's doing what he's doing. He's healing on the Sabbath and all these various different things. And interestingly, though, as they challenge him, he comes back with a question, as a good rabbi would do, answer a question with a question to lead the conversation. And he asked them about John the Baptist and baptism, and did he do it from, was it from heaven or was it earthly? And so the Pharisees and they're in debate with themselves. Okay, if we answer it this way, then And then we say that, you know, okay, if it's from heaven, then we're giving authority. If we say it's from only from John, then we're going to disrupt the people because all the people believe that John's a prophet. So they ended up saying, we don't know. And so Jesus said, well, you know, because you're not going to answer my question honestly, I'm not going to tell you by which authority I come. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing this in the public places. And so Jesus is confronting, we're talking about thousands of people there on the temple as the flood of the festivals are coming in. And so then there's a real political disruption. And so I would say that nothing is new under the sun, and there's constantly political disruption. As long as Christians are on this earth, there's going to be disruption. Because just as Jesus said when he was before Caiaphas on trial, and they asked, who are you? Do you say that you're the Messiah? And Jesus responded, I am.
Yeah.
And so they cried out blasphemy, because he came in the authority of heaven, and they're looking for a political leader, and he was a heavenly leader. He was the King of Kings. And so where we are at today, the Christians are calling out the political bluffs, and it's all political disruption. Politics has taken over everything cultural. So now everything.
And medical.
Everything. So in every topic is now a political topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government and the elites, and Jesus was confronting the elites. We're talking about the people that had all the money. And he did it knowing that he was going to lay down his life.
You know, it's so interesting to me because, you know, Jesus said, I am God, essentially. That's why they really, at that last week, that's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. Healing on the Sabbath is one thing, but saying you're God, that's the end right there. Everyone was looking for a political solution to what was going on, and many people, and his disciples included, thought he would be the political answer, but he wasn't. And I want to take you back, Jason, to just this last Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, because I think some of our listeners may not understand, even some believers don't understand, how is it, you know, Jesus with all this power, the Son of God, God himself, came into Jerusalem on a donkey, lowly, meek, humble, and he was not the political conqueror that they wanted. He wasn't, even though he was who he said he was. Palm mm-hmm. Sunday is so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he stayed to who he was, and that was he was a man of no reputation, and people were looking for him to disrupt the political system.
But he had, God had, they had, he had
yeah.
a different plan, which yeah. was prophecy, wasn't it? I mean, it was prophesied.
Zechariah prophesied it
mm-hmm.
and foretelling it, and it took place.
Yeah, Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, that's the NIV version, but you get the same idea in the New King James. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation," which I love that translation.
Yeah.
"Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." How people can miss these prophecies befuddles me, because he is just in having salvation, yet they were still looking for political salvation.
Exactly.
Not understanding it was for our souls,
and
salvation.
And they were the Pharisees who knew this was their word. This was all written for them.
Exactly.
But because he didn't come in power,
mm-hmm.
he came lowly,
mm-hmm.
They couldn't accept it.
Yeah. He came in power, a certain kind of power that threatened them, rather than just for him to do what they wanted him to do,
yeah.
which was get rid of the Romans.
And he did that again on Tuesday of Passion Week. He was in the public place as they were challenging his authority. He challenged their authority.
You know, it's interesting because even today, believers too, and unbelievers, seekers, people here that are listening to us, we want Jesus to do things the way we want him to do it. We want him to do it our way, do it now, or just do this. And when it doesn't turn out that way, a lot of people will fall away then, or will, you know, it's the same thing. He was not the Roman conqueror that his disciples wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And yet they came back from that. And we're going to get into something that happens after Easter called Pentecost. But, I mean, anyway, let's set that aside for a moment. how to heal from if Jesus, God, doesn't do what you think you want him to do, but to still stay faithful, to still stay true to him. You said something on Sunday that I think is really important in Passion Week, and that is on Sunday they welcomed him with Hosanna, Hosanna, you're the King of Kings, and by Friday these same people, many of them, were saying, crucify him. What changed? How does this happen?
Emotion. It's you know, when you have people, they were excited over the hope, and they were they had an emotional faith, but it wasn't a faith by action. And we need to have faith intellectually, emotionally, and by action. And when it's just intellectually, the scripture says that the demons have that kind of faith, and emotional, even the demons have that kind of faith because they bowed down, they yielded before Jesus. And so now it's faith comes by hearing of the word of God. And so how do we resolve our disappointments? It's by faith and understanding that God is using everything. And it may not be the fairy tale that we had dreamt when we were younger. It may not, our worlds might get shattered because of everything that we've worked for, but yet if we made that an idol, and if we are a child of God, he's a jealous God, and so he won't share his throne. And so how do we reconcile? Romans 8:28 says, and we all know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so the goodness is his purpose. It's not our purpose.
Yeah.
And so faith is resting in, okay, I could be going through the most horrible day, season, years that I'm in, but he's allowing it. So there's good to be found in it. But that takes faith.
Yeah. That is that step of faith. And it is a step of faith. But the more times that you step out, and I know you guys know this, the stronger it becomes. You begin to, things happen in your life that you know did not just happen. There are no coinkydinks. I mean, it's just truly God, and you can know it and know it. And I think some of our friends that are listening today that are maybe they're seeking the Lord or they've looked a little bit and they just haven't gotten to that point yet to give themselves over to that. If they would take that step of faith, God will meet them and give that assurance that when we're disappointed, I'm still hopeful.
That's right.
You know, it's still all okay, isn't it?
Yeah, and part of it, I think, has to do with how one is living their life.
Yes.
Because if they're living their life in a way that is contrary to a biblical life, then what happens when things don't go our way? We feel like we're being judged or this is happening because I went to the bar last night or whatever reason. That
just wrong thinking.
Wrong thinking. But if we are abiding in Christ, then we are sure in Christ. And so we are to sure up our salvation, not by it's not that we earn it, but salvation is confirmed by how we live our lives. And I think there's a pseudo Christianity out there that we know during these times, Christmas and Easter, the pseudo Christians show up, and because they're Christian by name, they're Christian by tradition,
yes,
but not Christian by daily living.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge.
That is the challenge. It's like the difference. You can be saved, let's say, but the challenge is to then be a follower of Christ, to actually follow him. And I love that description for us, is to be a follower. I have one more question before we take our next break, though we're coming up on it pretty soon. Let's take the break first, okay? And then I'll ask, because this is a pretty big question coming up. All right, everybody, stick around with us. We have a lot more coming your way, a lot more information, and for you to think about.
Senator Jim Woodward's telling people he's a conservative guy who likes to limit government. False. Woodward's voting record's anything but that. Food prices are skyrocketing, but Woodward blocked an amendment repealing Idaho's grocery tax. Woodward fully funded critical race theory and the social justice takeover at Boise State and University of Idaho. Then Woodward sold out Idahoans and flipped to protect Brad Little's COVID powers. Woodward voted to allow businesses to force vaccine passports as a condition of employment, and Woodward got a failing grade on both the Idaho Freedom Index and the American Conservative Union scorecards. Call Jim Woodward and tell Woodward his liberal voting record is failing Idaho taxpayers. 208-332-2100. Tell Woodward to stop voting like a Boise liberal. Tell Woodward to stop funding wokeness and critical race theory, and tell Woodward to cut Idaho's grocery tax now. Paid for by Idaho Freedom Action.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, save time, shop online, and pick up your items at the store or have them delivered to your home. It's easy and convenient. Go to superonefoods.net and select your items. Then set the time to pick up your groceries in one of the reserved parking spaces at the store or have them delivered. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring. Great jobs with some positions starting at $18 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Ave in Sandpoint, especially this week for their 30th year anniversary celebration. Friday is a special dinner for two menu that includes Termin margaritas, plus a free tasting menu for all. Saturday, come listen to a true mariachi band from EWU playing from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And Saturday, Star Alexander performs magic from 1 to 5 p.m. Serving fine Mexican cuisine in Sandpoint since 1992. 30 years, Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Everyone, welcome back in. I am so glad you're with us today because this is a great conversation and it's just for you. Pastor Jason Gold and his wife Ann are here with us today. They serve at Regeneration Calvary Chapel. I know where it is, but I guess I don't have to ask, but tell our audience where the church is located.
We are at 130 McGee Road in Kootenai. It's in the old Coldwater Creek building, second floor. We're not leasing the entire building. People say, wow, the church is huge.
Yeah. No, we're just leasing. We're in a little corner.
Yeah. Well, the church is growing, that's for sure. There are so many young families. Indeed. And so many young people, teens as well as the little ones. There's just amazing energy and a lot of activity.
A lot of activity. We had our first Moms Fellowship this morning, and it's been a huge blessing and long time coming just to see these moms. You know, you asked earlier, Barbara, that why is this Easter different? Because we just went through 2 years about of a new normal and people living in fear and in also boldness. You have those who stepped out in boldness and people who are still feeling fearful to leave their house at times. And that was why we really wanted to create this ministry for moms to get out and bring their kids with them and play together, because it is, spring is coming. Spring is here.
Yes.
And it is time to crack those doors and windows and come outside and meet new people. And I think that fellowship and that time to encourage each other in the Word is so important. And that is why, you know, Easter or Resurrection Sunday is so important for people who may need to take that step of faith like you were mentioning, just, you know, I don't go to church and I don't feel comfortable going into a church, but sometimes on Easter, they are willing to step out and do that. And this year especially, we need to encourage people to get out and find a good church, a Bible-teaching yes. church, to come and receive, be healed, mm-hmm. be encouraged in their hearts.
There is no question in my heart that Easter is God is he's always on the move. But there is something special that happens at Easter because mm-hmm. more people do come out of habit or a childhood memory. That was me mm-hmm. years ago. So, yes, just encourage people to come to church on Easter and just have ears to hear and just relax and let God, just listen to what God has mm-hmm. to say.
I have kind of a different, as a child, my parents divorced when I was in sixth grade. And anything holidays was hard for me because mm-hmm. it meant I had to choose between my mom and my stepdad or my biological dad. And so it was during those times where it actually caused me to kind of step away mm-hmm. and not want to be part of anything. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20, realizing that church, a lot of people look at it as an institution. There's a lot of abuses out there. People get hurt in church. But church is designed to be a family. It's a body. It's the body of Christ. Everybody coming together. Like-mindedness, Jesus being the centerpiece. And then what makes the family work is that the family functions together doing different giftings, different parts. And just taking that step of faith of the vulnerability of is you're not stepping into an organization. You should be stepping into something that's alive. It's an organism. Mm-hmm. And sadly, there are too many churches that are just too organized. Yeah. And it needs to be more the Holy Spirit working and the body working together.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we all know that Good Friday is coming up. And I wonder how many people have seen the play or the movie The Passion. And I think it's difficult even for believers sometimes to look at that and think, you know, we are calling that Good Friday and it's hard to see the good in it, but we know what it is. For those of us that know what it is, help explain Good Friday to our listeners, Jason, please.
The Good Friday is Jesus laying down his life that he would make a way for salvation. When we think about, if anybody's been in church, the chances are they're familiar with communion. And if they're familiar with communion, it's understanding what that is mm-hmm. and what that means. And, you know, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're to remember the Lord. And he also said, with regards to the cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And goes on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Proclaiming. When we think of a family member passing away, we don't proclaim it. We remember it. But the proclamation of Christ's death is its resurrection power. Jesus is alive. It means there's hope in the midst of darkness. That we can, if we are experiencing darkness in our lives, we can worship into the darkness. Because as we worship, his light shines in and through us and then illuminates anything dark in our lives. And that's all possible because Jesus died on the cross because of what we call Good Friday. What's good about it is that Jesus laid down his life and made the way for salvation.
Mm-hmm. For everyone who will accept it, for yes. me, for you. You know, years and years ago, even though I was taken to church by my mom and dad came at Easter and Christmas, and I don't know, I was in Sunday school, I was in church, I don't know what it was, I don't know what I wasn't hearing or what they were saying. I never did understand, even when I helped with Vacation Bible School in high school, why we were putting, I didn't understand the concept of sheep. Why were you putting these cotton balls on the flannel board with, I just didn't, I don't know, but I did it because, I don't know. And so I thought all these years, Jason and Anne, I thought Easter was the story of, about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was in all this stuff going on in Jerusalem and they killed him for it, but because he was the Son of God, he came back alive and he walked around for a while talking to people and, you know, telling them things. And then he went up to heaven and that was his story. It didn't really have anything to do with me. All I had to do was live a pretty good life. And if I was good enough, I could get into heaven. And so one Easter, innocently, in my deception, I walked in and there was a pastor who, I mean, my ears must have been big that day. And I was hearing and my heart was open. And I heard clearly for the first time that Jesus died for me. Mm-hmm. He died for me. He was willing to lay his life down and shed his blood and wash me and cleanse me and make me fit for heaven right here and now. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to wait. I didn't have to wonder. And even if I messed up in the future, which I found out I would, I thought, I didn't realize there wasn't a fix-all. But that was all covered too. And it's just amazing to me. I so want people to hear this. Easter is so precious. Mm-hmm. It is. It's why it's foundational, isn't it? It's why we're talking about it. Because this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. It's that long journey, what is it, 12 or 18 inches from the head to the heart, yeah, when exactly. You can grasp.
I didn't even have it in the head, Anne. I don't, you know.
It was in your ears and the recesses of your mind.
Well, it depends on how big your head is.
Yes, it could be a longer journey. But many people do feel the same way as you did, Barbara, and that is they understand, but they haven't made it real. And I actually got to pray with somebody last Sunday who said those exact words. Mm. I want to love Jesus more. I want to feel the emotion. I want to understand in a deeper way, but I think she had all the understanding. But to receive that in your heart, to know what Jesus did for you on the cross, what it really meant when the veil tore from the top to the bottom in the temple, I think that was at around 3 o'clock on Good Friday, if I'm not mistaken, when darkness had covered the earth for those 3 long hours and the sin of the world was being poured out on Jesus. And it is emotional. I get emotional thinking about it because it's every good and every perfect gift comes from God. And that is why it's Good Friday.
Yeah. It's emotional because it's personal.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep it at arm's length, and it's like you said, it's just something you hear. It's interesting. It's all interesting. Or you know, you like the church. You know, you meet your insurance agent there. You know, it's like a country club. It's all good. But if it's not, it hasn't gotten personal yet.
Yeah.
Just you, mm-hmm. and Jesus.
Yeah.
The only two in the room.
Well, the Bible says that there's no greater love than this than one that would lay down his life for his friend.
Yeah.
And today in our culture, and it's the right thing to do, is we give honor to those that would lay down their lives for someone. And we, in the military, they get a medal. They're considered a hero. Even in a civilian that would go into a hostile environment to take a bullet for another person, they're a hero. And the ultimate hero is that he laid down his life for all humanity, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though if it was just one, he would have done it.
Yeah.
But he did it for all humanity, that whoever believed in him, they would find eternal life.
Yeah.
But it's a decision. Everybody has to make that decision for Christ on their own.
Yeah.
There is no grandchildren.
Right.
He has sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, I am going to attend a Seder dinner this Thursday evening at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, and I'm pretty sure they're sold out because they're not charging anything, though I'm sure donations would be welcome. Mm-hmm. But this will be the 4th Seder dinner, and I love it. I hope maybe someday I don't know if you've done this at the church before.
We did one a few years ago. We got to do
one. It's such an amazing way of looking at the Passover dinner, the Jewish tradition of that, and how in every part Christ is there.
Yes.
In every part of the centuries-old, thousands and thousands of year-old dinner that was eaten when they left Egypt free from slavery. It's always so amazing to me. I can't hear it enough. And sing Dayenu. Do you sing Dayenu? Dayenu.
No, but we need
Okay, but I won't do that.
That's
now.
So fun.
You should do the whole song. Right
I digress.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage families to look up how to do a Seder or a Passover dinner at home with your children, because there is so much to talk about and so much to review on how he is the fulfillment of all of those things that you're talking about, all the elements.
I know.
Everything.
It's beautiful. And this week, it doesn't happen every year, but this week it coincides. You know, our Good Friday is their Passover evening after sundown, their Passover for our Orthodox or even the Reformed Jews.
Yes.
All right, we're up against another break. I can't believe how the time flies. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Resurrection Sunday.
Sweet Lou's in Coeur d'Alene and Ponderé is your headquarters for watching sports. Enjoy great food and full bar at the Ponderé location and tons of beers on tap at both locations. Can't stay for the game? Get Sweet Lou's to go. And if you're looking for a great job, the new Sweet Lou's in Athol is opening soon and is currently taking applications for all positions. Go to SweetLou'sIdaho.com to apply today. That's SweetLou'sIdaho.com. Come hungry. Stay late. Eat well. Sweet Lou's.
Having knee replacement surgery is a big decision. Northwest Specialty Hospital is the only hospital in the Inland Northwest to offer the VELYS robotic-assisted solution. It's a personalized system that helps our surgeons perform knee replacement surgery that is tailored to each patient and designed to provide digital precision and accuracy. Contact the orthopedic specialist at Northwest Specialty Hospital at 208-262-2300 or nwsh.com/VELYS.
If you have roots in your old sewer line or leaks in your underground water pipes, North Point Trenchless can replace those pipes without expensive trenching. Their patented Trenchless device is mounted inside the crawl space or under the house, creating a new pipe to the city connection. Landscaping, decks, and driveways are all spared from disaster. Call for a free inspection and estimate, 208-304-5712, or check them out on Facebook. If you're having underground pipe problems, don't tear up your trees or driveway. Call North Point Trenchless, 208-304-5712.
They were our brothers, our sisters, sons, and daughters. They were our parents, family, neighbors, and our friends. How can we express the gratitude that we all owe the thousands and thousands of American veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country's freedom? It was they who stepped forward from the time this country was created to fight for everything we know about liberty and freedom. And although we celebrate their victories and console them for their losses by creating monuments and honoring them in parades, the truth is we can never do enough for the freedom they've given us. Perhaps the most important thing that we can do is reach out to those veterans closest to us and simply tell them thank you. All of us at Shiloh Inns would like to take this opportunity to recognize the many men and women, including police and firemen, who have served and continue to serve our country to ensure our freedom. From everyone at Shiloh Inns, thank you and God bless America.
When life throws you a curveball, your P1FCU debit account can help keep you moving. P1FCU Perks, powered by Bizing, offers great features like money-saving discounts, cell phone protection, roadside assistance, and cash back. This card saves you money. Does your debit card do that? P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Only available with P1FCU preferred debit accounts. Insured by NCUA.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We are talking about Holy Week, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about all that with you with Pastor Jason and Ann Gold. They're with Regeneration Calvary Chapel out in Ponderé in the old Coldwater Creek complex. And Lighthouse is there. And there are other groups there. They're Envision and the Pregnancy Center and all kinds of wonderful organizations, including the church. You know, I pulled out from the newspaper a few days ago the celebration that's happening in the world with Easter week. And we've got eggs and bunny bowling and Easter trees and spoon races and jelly bean counts and egg tosses and bunny hops.
And, wow.
You know, yeah, the world's got a lot going on. They celebrate this week, but not in the way that it originally meant, not in the original meaning and, and the spiritual meaning of it. So I'm just very grateful. I love this radio station because they believe in free speech and they believe that, that we get to talk about these things that are important so we can talk about the spiritual meaning of this beautiful Holy Week. So can I say the crown jewel? I don't know, because Good Friday's pretty good. But the real issue that comes that gives us our hope and our assurance happened on Sunday. And Pastor Jason talked to our audience about that, the hope of the empty tomb.
Yes. Yeah, you know, when you think of everybody, you know, well, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if we are not having hope, then chances are what we've put our hope in has failed. And, you know, when we think of Good Friday, there's been millions of people that have died for good reasons. There's been millions of people that have died for other people. But there's only one that's resurrected and then ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. And he's someday coming back for us. And so that is the sure hope, because Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And he died, and he said 3 days later, the temple will be rebuilt, and he was referring to himself. And he read that tomb was empty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think of the disciples and the women running, you know, going to the tomb to get his body. And you know, that was one of the greatest conspiracies because, you know, the Roman guard, you know, they failed, you know, from their perspective because the body was gone. And so the conspiracy was they had to make something up because they couldn't handle the truth. And so the political leaders made up a story. Mm-hmm. They made up their own truth. But, you know, we can't imagine that ever happening today, right?
No.
That they wouldn't tell the truth?
Right, or make up a story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting that I think some people, I just feel that they're, I don't know, skeptics, let's call them. And they just think, you know, this is a step too far. You know, Jesus was a good teacher and a good man, but this resurrection is a difficult part and foundational to what we believe, to what actually happened. But there are early Christian fathers wrote about it. They wrote about, historians wrote that Jesus was seen by many people. It says it in the Bible, but
500.
Historians say that there were people that testified that they saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more that you look into things, the more, at least for me, the easier it is to believe when you can see all of the different things that testified to his life after he surely did die.
Yeah. Well, people have to take, if they're going to be honest with themselves, how does our judicial system work generally based on witness accounts, eyewitness accounts, documentation?
Yes.
And there are eyewitness accounts. There is documentation. And there's you know, other writings outside of the Bible that confirm the resurrection of Christ. And the eyewitness accounts of people that saw Christ in his resurrected form. And, you know, there was the case for Christ. He did a book and he did a movie. And one of the things that he did within that movie was he went to, I don't know, it was a psychologist of some sort, or I forget.
All kinds of theologians.
Kinds of really educated people. And many of them were secular. And this individual was secular. And when they were talking about the 500 that witnessed the resurrected Christ, she went on to say that the probability of of 500 people making that up is impossible. For 500 people to have the exact same delusion is an impossibility.
And for those same 500 to stay with it and not deny mm-hmm. it. I mean, they saw it. And in the face of lions and persecution and death, which they indeed suffered, they didn't waver. Mm-hmm. They didn't back down from that. This is what happened. This is what we saw. Yeah. We saw him alive, truly.
Yeah. And I think that is the big question. There's so much evidence for the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection. People won't really deny that Jesus died on a cross, because a lot of criminals, they say that's how Roman crucifixion went. And there's evidence for Jesus's birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's overwhelming. But in order to accept that Jesus was who he said he was, you have to deny yourself. We have to give up something of what we hold so dear as pride and our self-will and how we want to live, and we don't want to give those things up. So it's easier to believe the lie than accept the truth.
And there's a vulnerability of putting your life in somebody else's hands. And if people have childhood traumas, usually it's more difficult to put a surrender into somebody else's hands. But, Jesus understood betrayal. He understood the heartaches. He understood his friends turning his back on him. He understood false accusations and persecutions. And, we're told that he is a savior that understands humanity on every level.
Yeah.
And so he can have compassion on us.
You know, if people just, take a hard, they've made up their mind and they're just not going to allow this to, to look at the evidence or to read a book, then God will leave them there, because everyone has to make up kind of their own process, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Hopefully we are working it out and following Christ. But you can be in a position, it frightens me even to this day at how deceived I was. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew. I thought I knew what was true in the Bible. I had no idea. I wasn't even in agreement with God, much less truth. You know what I mean? I was just wrong in every area, and I didn't know it. And that's why I think Easter is such a good time to just say, you know what, get over yourself a little bit. Maybe you made up your mind, or you thought you knew what you knew when you were a teenager, like I did, or in college or the Peace Corps. I didn't know. And I didn't know that I didn't know. And to open up again to the possibility that this is true. I interviewed Josh McDowell years ago, and his wonderful book, You Don't Have to Leave Your Brains at the Door. And I encourage people that are listening that have questions, bring your questions, because Pastor Jason and the other pastors, they can handle it. But more importantly, God can handle it. Bring it. Bring it, like the lady that was praying, mm-hmm. that she felt, I have it in my heart. I want to feel what I want to experience.
Right.
This.
And that was something I asked her. I said, really quick, can I ask you what your denominational background was? And she told me it was Catholic. And I said, okay, well, can I tell you who the Holy Spirit is? And can I pray with you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and be baptized? Because without that power, it's that resurrection power, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability. It's the person of the Trinity that we relate to most today, is the Holy Spirit.
Excellent. Just a few seconds left. Want to remind people that Good Friday service at Regeneration, I'm sure there are many other churches that have them, 4:30 this Friday at Regeneration Calvary Chapel. We hope to see you there. I can't thank you both enough. This is so enjoyable and such a precious time. Pastor Jason and Ann Gold, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, everybody, that's it. That's the program for today. Next week, We gear up again to bring you the candidates competing for your vote. We will focus on the Bonner County Commissioner race in District 2 with Jeff Conley, Randy Flaherty, and Asia Williams. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care and may God bless you.